Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we look today at the topic of the day of the Lord, the most prophesied event in Scripture. And we thank you that we have the privilege of knowing you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we ask that you might fill us with your Spirit, that we might understand your word, and that your word might have free course among us. And Lord, that you might empower me today by your Holy Spirit to preach your word in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The day of the Lord, the most prophesied event in Scripture. Here Paul points to the day of the Lord, telling them that the day of the Lord has not yet come, because they know perfectly that it comes as a thief unto those that are lost. But unto the saved, it does not come as a thief, for there are those warnings, those signs that will precede the day of the Lord. So it doesn't overtake the believer. The believer is not in darkness, but the day of the Lord, which is God's eschatological wrath, meaning his end of the time, judgment coming upon the world, is future. It's a future event, but it's the most prophesied event in all of the Bible, even though the rapture seems to be the major focus of prophecy in these last days. That is not the case with the Word of God. For the day of the Lord is the focus. It is that time at the end when God brings upon the world, he intervenes with his judgment. Let's go to another passage of Scripture in Matthew 24. Here we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ answering the question of his four disciples, and he deals with this subject because they're asking him, when shall these things be that he spoke of? The destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem. They knew that the destruction was coming, and they also knew that he was going to return, because they said, asking him in verse 3 of Matthew 24, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the age, the end of the world? The end of the world is the phrase that includes and actually is the basis for the day of the Lord. The end of the world is when God judges the world, when it's his day. And then the Lord Jesus answered their question with real simplicity and clarity. He addressed the second part of their question first, the end of the age, because the events leading up to the end of the age are also the signs for his coming. For both events, the end of the age and the second coming of Christ, occur on the very same day, according to the Lord Jesus' teaching in Luke 17. Here's Luke 17. And as it was in the days of Noah, that's beginning in verse 26, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. The Lord Jesus is emphasizing, number one, the business as usual attitude of the lost. They eat, they drink, they planted, they bought, they sold. But the same day that the business as usual attitude among the lost was prevalent, the same day judgment came upon those people. Fire and brimstone from heaven destroyed them all in the case of Lot. And then, of course, the universal flood in Noah's day destroyed them all. There's a phrase that the Lord Jesus used and showed that it was the same day that he rescued his own, the same day he brought retribution upon the earth. So the Lord here is emphasizing this same day rescue of his people. Then immediate retribution, the same day, which has been his unchanging method through the ages. In other words, this present age, which is the age of grace, will end when the Lord returns to rescue his saints from Satan's great tribulation. He'll rescue them by rapture, which is immediately followed by his day of the Lord's judgment. His coming will bring an end to this age, which is also called the church age. Now, man's time on earth started in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. God created man, Genesis 1:27, gave him dominion over every living thing, Genesis 1:28. And therefore, the time since creation could rightly be called the day of man. However, man's day will be immediately followed by God's day, which is the day of the Lord, the most prophesied event in Scripture. In that day, God will systematically retake control of his planet through his righteous day of the Lord judgments. When he said to Jesus in Psalm 110:1, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool," that process will occur during the day of the Lord. In that same process, these judgments will also accomplish his purpose of purging and purifying the earth from the ages-long effects of sin's corruption, according to 2 Peter 3, 10-12. This day of the Lord judgment period will be preceded by these heavenly wonders. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." That's Joel 2, 30 and 31. The first writing prophet, Joel, brought to the forefront these great heavenly signs, these heavenly wonders, when God darkens the sun and the moon turns to blood, and it happens. It is the sign that shows that the great and terrible day is about to occur, the day of the Lord. Now, Joel, whose entire book focuses on the day of the Lord, he's the first to write of this event, indicating that they will be the sign of this great judgment in that future day, and they will precede the eschatological day of the Lord judgment. Isaiah also records these same signs in the heavens in connection with the day of the Lord. Isaiah 13, verse 9 and 10. I'll read that. "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." That's Isaiah speaking of the wrath of the day of the Lord and the sign that precedes that event. The prophet Amos also speaks of the same darkness during this future event. "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark, and no brightness in it. Amos 5, verse 18 and 20. Zephaniah, too, speaks of the day of the Lord. His book actually centers upon, his whole book focuses upon the day of the Lord and records this same darkness along with other defining characteristics. Zephaniah 1, verse 14 and 15. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ links these same heavenly wonders to the end of this age and his return to rescue the saints from Satan's great wrath, which is the great tribulation. I'll quote Matthew 24, verse 29 to 31. Immediately after the great tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There we see the sign of the day of the Lord, the appearing of the Son of Man, and the angels gathering the elect with the great sound of a trumpet from one end of heaven to the other, showing that the sign of the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, and then the rapture itself occurring in three distinct events right there in the same day. Notice that the Lord has a step-by-step chronological explanation. He says immediately after the great tribulation. Then he says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And then he covers the coming, his coming in the clouds. He sends his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they gather together his elect. Mark also records this most significant sequence of prophetic events. Mark chapter 13, verse 24 to 27. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Luke 2 tells of these future signs in each of the books he wrote. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. John's record of these supernatural events progressively provides us with additional significant information. Revelation 6, verse 12 and 13. And behold, when he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. While these passages focus upon the sign that occurs before the day of the Lord, ultimately indicating this sign's prominence in the Lord's time of the end plan, this is only the sign which precedes his wrath-filled day of the Lord judgment. This major prophetic sign and its global effects are referred to in at least 14 different Bible passages. Therefore, the biblical importance of this event, which is a sign of the day of the Lord, it precedes the day of the Lord, it's clear for it is the key to understanding the unfolding chronology of the time of the end, as it is the signal that occurs after the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:29, and just before the same day, beginning of the day of the Lord, and the second coming of Christ to rescue his elect by rapture. The day of the Lord is thoroughly described in the seven trumpet plagues, Revelation 8-11, the seven vial plagues, Revelation 15 and 16, the destruction of Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, and the culminating battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19:11-21. There are three minor prophets whose books are dedicated wholly to the day of the Lord: Joel, Obadiah, Zephaniah, while Isaiah chapter 2 to 5 and major portions of the little apocalypse, Isaiah 24-27, also focus upon this unparalleled time of God's eschatological wrath. Although the rapture of the saints continues to be the event that receives the most attention because it's a major occurrence on God's prophetic timetable, which clearly affects the saints, it's not the event that the Lord has underlined in his word. For the rapture itself is scarcely mentioned when compared to the amount of Bible text that's devoted to the eschatological day of the Lord. The Bible gives a clear and compelling witness to this future time of God's judgment, when he will fulfill his threefold purpose for the day of the Lord. Number one, the punishing of the peoples, Isaiah 2:10-17, Isaiah 34:2, and Zephaniah 1:17. Number two, the purging of the planet, Micah 1:3-4, 2 Peter 3:10-11. And then also the third purpose for the day of the Lord is the purifying of his people, Isaiah 6:10-13, Daniel 12:10, Zechariah 13:8-9, Malachi 3:1-3. So he punishes the peoples with this judgment that's coming, and he also purges the planet from sin's effect, and then he purifies his own people during this time of judgment. It's during this same time, called the Day of the Lord, that God will utilize a mighty company of 144,000 servants, Revelation 7:3. They will be called out, prepared, sealed, and protected, Revelation 9:4, in order that they might be his witnesses during this future time of judgment. They are in reality the believer's priesthood of the apocalypse. As believer priests, they will carry the merciful message of the gospel of grace to those who have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. The chronological sequence of events recorded in Matthew 24:4-31 and Revelation 6-8 indicate the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24:4-8, Revelation 6:1-8. Number two, the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:9-28, Revelation 6:9-11. The sign of the day of the Lord and the second coming of Christ, Matthew 24:29-30. Revelation 6:12-17, the sealing of the 144,000, Revelation 7:1-8, that's number four, and number five, the coming of the Lord to rescue the saints, Matthew 24:31, John 14:3, Revelation 7:9-17, and then number six, the beginning of the day of the Lord, Revelation 8. There, the seventh seal is opened, the scroll. The seventh seal is taken from the outside of the scroll. The scroll is opened, revealing God's judgments, and they begin as he sends his own representative from the throne of God in Revelation 8:1-5. Number seven, the day of the Lord judgments, the plagues begin. Revelation 8:6, 11:15, chapter 15 and 16. The seven trumpets, which are the first plagues, begin Revelation 9. The first plague, they're called the first plagues, Revelation 9, verse 20. The seven vials are called the last plagues, Revelation 15, verse 1. Then the judgment of Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18. The battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19, verse 11 through 15. These horrendous, cataclysmic Day of the Lord judgments mentioned above, which are sent from God, executed by his angels, are the main elements of God's wrath upon the earth and its inhabitants, taking up the majority of the prophetic section of the revelation of Jesus Christ. However, there are 12 events that definitely will occur before the Day of the Lord begins. Number one, God will send the prophet Elijah, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, before the great and terrible Day of the Lord. He will revive hearts. That's number two, Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. He'll turn the heart of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers before the great and dreadful Day of the Lord comes. Number three, there will be a restoration of all holy things, the old covenant, restoration of all things according to Daniel 11, 28 to 32, Matthew 17, 11, and Mark 9, verse 12. In those two gospel passages, the Lord Jesus Christ says, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. Count on the fact that God will send this Elijah-like prophet to restore all these things, which are the old covenant practices that were prevalent during the first 69 weeks of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Under this restoration, the Jews will be in the land. That's already occurred. The Jews will occupy and control the holy city of Jerusalem. That's already occurred. The temple will be rebuilt. That has not yet occurred, the holy place included. The regular morning and evening sacrifices will be instituted. Daniel 8, 11, and 12. Daniel 9, 27. Daniel 11, 31. Daniel 12, verse 11. The Sabbath will be honored, Matthew 24, 20. The two witnesses and prophets will be sent, Revelation 11, 3 to 17. The 12 tribes of Israel will be recognized and sealed, Revelation 7, verse 3 to 8. Also, the awareness of the believer will occur, Matthew 34, or 24, verse 32 to 33. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 10, which we read this morning. The falling away will come to pass, Daniel 11, 30, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. The man of sin will be revealed, Daniel 11, 31, Matthew 24, 15, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 10. Number 7, the abomination of desolation will occur, Daniel 9, 27, Matthew 24, 15, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. The great tribulation will come to pass, Daniel 11, 31 to 12. Or Daniel 11, 31, and then chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 10. Also, the great tribulation is mentioned in Matthew 24, 15 through 28. And Revelation 13, 1 through 18, it is described. The heavenly wonders on the day that the Day of the Lord begins. Before the Day of the Lord, these wonders in heavens will occur, Joel 2:31, Matthew 24, 29, Mark 13, 24 and 25, Luke 21, 25 and 26, Revelation 6, verse 12. Number 10, the sealing of the 144,000, Revelation 7, 1 to 8. These things will occur before the great and dreadful Day of the Lord. Number 11, the last trump. Joel 2:1, Matthew 24:31, 1 Corinthians 15:52, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And then, number 12, the second coming of Christ and the beginning of the Day of the Lord. Isaiah 26:19, Daniel 12:2, Matthew 24:29. 29:31. The day of the Lord is clearly described as God's wrath. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Isaiah 13:9-13. Here Zephaniah speaks of that same event. The great day of the Lord is near, he says. It is near and hastes greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Zephaniah 1:14-15. The day of the Lord, which is God's eschatological wrath, will not be experienced by his people, for they have been promised to be delivered from this unparalleled period of judgment. 1 Thessalonians 1:10-5:9. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. However, God's people have never been promised deliverance from tribulation. On the contrary, the Scripture teaches through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. The Lord Jesus told the 11 the night before he was crucified, "In the world ye shall have tribulation," which the Apostle Paul confirmed. "For verily, when I was with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." 1 Thessalonians 3:4. Tribulation is used by God to produce patience in his people, for tribulation works patience. Romans 5:3. Now, any true child of God will testify to that, knowing that it is the Lord's working in their life. James, the Lord's half-brother, was the first to record this vital truth in the New Testament. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." James 1:2-4. Paul himself gloried in tribulation, Romans 5:3, and was exceeding joyful, 1 Corinthians 7:4, knowing that through it all, God was allowing him to suffer that he might be made stronger and the Lord would continue to work in his life. This patience-building process through tribulation ultimately allows the child of God to possess ye your soul. Luke 21:19. During the most vicious persecution believers will face during the great tribulation at the time of the end. Luke 21:12-18. Although the great tribulation, which is carried out by the Antichrist and his false prophet, also called Satan's great wrath in Revelation 12:12, it is his ultimate war against the saints. Although all those things are true, the great tribulation must not be confused with God's wrath, which immediately follows this great tribulation, Matthew 24:29, and it's called the day of the Lord, which we've been studying here, the most prophesied event in Scripture. Yes, God will definitely rescue his saints by rapture. He cuts off the great tribulation. He shortens this time, Matthew 24:22, when he sends his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue the saints by rapture. This glorious supernatural rescue of the people of God is also referred to as the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:13-14. The saints will be taken home to heaven. Revelation 7:9-17. being delivered, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, from the coming wrath of God, which definitely is the most prophesied event in Scripture. The great and dreadful day of the Lord, Malachi 4, verse 5. Our Father, we thank you for your word and the clearness, and how we can know your plan, how it's laid out chronologically for us by the Lord Jesus. And as we follow through, and as we strengthen ourselves and serve thee, witnessing to those who are lost and praying for those who are saved. Lord, give us this powerful ministry as we wait on that day, knowing that it is soon, that you will come to rescue your people from the wrath, before the wrath of God occurs. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.